Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Why don't you just be real for once in your
life? You want me to be real?
Just admit that you love controlling females. Admit it. Admit it, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Admit it, bro. Admit it. Just for once in your life, admit it, bro. Guys, that was from this week's Summer House. I thought it was a wonderful episode. We've been, of course, waiting for this episode the entire season. They teased it in the very first trailer that was ever released, so I was super excited to get to this week. Hello, I'm Danny Pellegrino. Welcome to Everything Iconic. We're going to be talking Summer House. Also, this week's Atlanta recap will be a little bit different because I have Monet Exchange, who's going to be joining me to talk Atlanta and RuPaul's Drag Race. Monet is, of course, a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, so stay tuned for that. I'll put the timestamp in the episode description so you can skip ahead if you just want that. But for now, we've got to talk about Summer House. The show opens where the girls are having their girls' night with face masks. And I'm going to say, you guys, they're on a TV show and they got those cheap animal masks. I'm very into self-care. You know I love my face mask Friday. And those animal masks are like a dollar at CVS. And I'm not saying that they will ruin your face, but they're not great for your face. Maybe they got some better brand or something like that, but I swear those were the ones that you get at the checkout counter of CVS, and those are good in a pinch when you need something absolutely to take care of you for some self-care. But I recommend getting something a little bit nicer for your face, a little bit nicer. You know, the Hanicure masks are my favorite. That's they're like the zombie masks, and they're a little pricey, but they honestly are my favorite, and they make you look like a really old person. I like them. Anyway, the guys, meanwhile, are playing Pong, and they're trying to figure out, like, what happens for the loser. And Carl suggests that we do naked push-ups for the loser. And I was clapping, I was clapping at home when he said that. I thought, that's a great idea. I'd love to see these men get naked. At least give us some eye candy. And then Kyle says, that's the dumbest idea ever. Or Luke says, I don't know, one of them turned that down. And I was like thinking, no, don't turn it down. Take off your blouse, take off your pants, and do some naked push-ups for us. Give us a show, gentlemen. I mean, honestly. But so then they decide to just hit each other. They're like, okay, you got to get a slap shot in or something like that. I'm like, this is so straight. This is such a straight man thing. But over at Girls' Night, Hannah and Paige finally come clean about the idea that Lindsay might have slept with Luke. Now, here's the thing. I really thought, speaking of that trailer that we got before the season even started, that Lindsay and Luke actually hooked up. I even went back and did my recon and rewatched that trailer to see how it was presented to us. Now, not only was it presented to us as a fact that they hooked up, but it was also alluded to in the sound. They gave us a sound bite in that initial trailer that made it seem as if it was the sounds of sex between Luke and Lindsay. Now, I'm very upset about this bamboozlement because they've been doing it a little too much on Bravo. On the Real Housewives of New Jersey, of course, they led us to believe that Melissa and Joe were having, there was like a fair situation or something going on. And then we come to find out it was just a prank call. And now here on Bravo, they put literal sex noises in that trailer to make it seem like Lindsay and Luke were doing it. And we even know, because I had Hannah and Paige on the podcast last week, if you haven't listened, go listen. But he had even alluded to the fact that nothing happened between Lindsay and Luke. So it was all just because of this Instagram DM from a psychic. I'm over this bamboozlement, Bravo. I understand you got to spice up the trailer, but now I'm not going to believe anything that comes in a trailer. Not one thing. I'm not going to believe it. So if a trailer's good, I'm not going to buy it that the season's good. Because you're all lying to me. You're all, and you know what? I've been fooled me once and shame on me. Fool me seven times and shame on you, Bravo. Shame on fucking you. But Lindsay gets activated because she's like, what the fuck? I didn't sleep with Luke. And she's like, do you know who I am? And they're like, yeah, you're Lindsay Hubbard. Sit down. But I love that Lindsay gets activated. And quite honestly, I would have too, because this is a crazy rumor to be starting on TV in a house when she didn't even do anything with this man. It was just an Instagram DM from a psychic. You can't believe every Instagram DM from a psychic. I mean, come on. I kind of feel bad for Lindsay, you know? And the next night, they decided to do this pub crawl, which was really cute. They all got a bunch of shit from Amazon, and they decorated their rooms, each like the city they're from or whatever. And Carl did like an Amish theme. Paige and Hannah did an NYC city life kind of thing. Kyle, he put on a very aggressive spray tan. Him and Amanda did like a California theme, which I believe they actually culturally appropriated maple syrup, because did you see Kyle's face? It was like it was melting. I couldn't believe all that shit that he put on it. It's like, Kyle, you need to slow down with that self-tanner because it's just too much. It looked like maple syrup on his face. And Kyle, you know, I think he's a gorgeous man. I think he's maybe the best looking man on Bravo. You know, two judgy girls, they did their March Madness thing. And Carl ended up winning. I don't know if you guys follow two judgy girls on Instagram, but they do every March, a man March Madness. So the hottest guy on Bravo. And I was devastated because it came down to Craig and Carl. And I just believe that to be false. I'm sorry. They're both good looking. You know, I used to love my Craigie. I turned on him this past season. And Carl, I'm actually really falling in love with this season. But I don't believe that they're the two hottest men on Bravo. You know, Juan Dixon is right there. He's right there on the whole network. And we're going to pick Carl. I mean, come on. I was so upset, you guys. I lost sleep over it the past 3 nights. I haven't slept a wink. Just there thinking in my head about how Carl won, the hottest man on Bravo. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a good looking man. And I really am falling in love with him this season. But we got Juan Dixon there. We got Wendy, Dr. Wendy's husband. What's his name? Eddie. We got so many other men on this network, and then we picked Carl and Craig. How dare you all? Whoever voted. I do like my Carl, though. But then it came down to Craig. I gotta be honest, too. I'm starting to turn on Sierra on this show, Summer House. And most of it is because I read on that Dumois, you know, that website they do, like, blind items. So they collect all these rumors, and people can, like, write in things that they see or things that are happening or whatever that are just rumors. They're not verified. It's a lot of gossip. But I read on there that Sierra, when she goes to do that Winter House show, which hasn't been officially announced, that's why I wasn't able to talk to Paige and Hannah about it, because Paige is allegedly in the Winter House, but she wasn't allowed to talk about it because it hasn't been officially announced. But Paige was seen like in Vermont where they're filming it. Anyway, Sierra allegedly is also there. Hannah's not in the Winter House, but Sierra was allegedly there. And the rumor is that she has like a thing with Austin from Southern Charm.
Ew.
Austin from Southern Charm. She's got a thing with him. And apparently they were found on a plane, like she was leaning her head on Austin. What is going on, ladies? All these beautiful, gorgeous, successful women all are just stigmatized by Austin. Austin, you guys. Austin from Southern Charm. So I'm starting to turn on Sierra because I'm thinking, okay, she fell in love with Austin. And this week, something I feel like we're missing. We're missing the Sierra, the Luke of it all. You guys, we're going to get there. But that's why I'm turning on Sierra. Anyway, they do this little bar crawl, and it's super cute. I was thinking, like, what would I do for my room? Like, if I was doing an Ohio theme, you know, I'm from Cleveland. And I thought, you know, it would just be me dressed as my mother complaining about water in my knee while we all drank Great Lakes Brewing Company beer, and we eat takeout from Applebee's. Like, that would be my theme room. We would all have, like, a Blooming Onion and my Ohio theme room. My mom, by the way, I just talked to her before, and she's constantly on the phone. Every time I talk to her, she's complaining about water in the knee now. She's always got an elbow issue, a knee problem. She's like, Dan, your father said I might have water in my knee. How do you get water in your knee, Dan? I said, Gary, you probably have Lipton iced tea in your knee because you're drinking that Lipton iced tea every second. I couldn't believe your father said I got some water in my knee. How do you get water in your knee, Dan? Every time she calls me, something with the knee, something with the elbow. And I know it's my future. You guys, it's my expected future. I accept it. I embrace it. One day, if this podcast is still going, you'll hear me complain about my knee and my elbow, water in my knee. You know, it is what it is. But that would be my theme room. Just be me as Linda Pellegrino complaining about my knee. Anyway, so they're all sort of gossiping. It was a really cute theme, but they're all gossiping. And Sierra actually confronts Luke about texting her. So she says, I told you not to text me after 9 at night, and you still did. And they showed us on the screen. He said, like, do you want to watch a movie or something? Here's the thing. I'm kind of conflicted about this whole thing because I do understand
that she gave him a line. She drew a line in the sand. She said, do not text me. And then he did. And I understand she felt a little bit uncomfortable about that. So she confronted him about it. But I do think we're missing something that happened between Sierra and Luke, because it doesn't ring true to me. And it feels like we jumped from one extreme to the next, because it seemed like Sierra and Luke were really close. Of course, that's how Sierra's in this house. She came in with Luke. They were good buddies and they were sort of dating or whatever. And it seems like we just skipped a step. And I'm like, when did she really start to hate Luke? Because now it seems like this episode, she despises him. And obviously, there's some influence from Hannah and the rest of the group that is making her dislike Luke. But it just seemed like a quick jump. And I almost, you guys, I felt a little sad for Luke. This whole episode, I thought, you know what? They're all sort of ganging up on him. Lindsay's the only one who's activating against the others for Luke's behalf. I don't know. I felt bad. I felt bad for Luke, and I don't normally feel bad for that man. He's a gorgeous, hot, straight, white man. There's nothing to feel bad about, to be quite honest. But I did a little bit. Something happened. There has to be something behind the scenes. I do think that Sierra felt uncomfortable by the text. I'm not discounting that feeling or that what she expressed there. But it still feels like we're missing a little scene or a little something. And maybe something happened that they can't talk about on the camera. You know, we know that happens. I think there's a lot on this show. I'll be honest with you guys. I hear things. I know things. I think there's a lot that we just don't get to see. And, of course, they can't do the breaking of the fourth wall, or they don't want to. But I think there's a lot going on that we don't know about. Anyway, Carl starts to confront Luke. And it seemed to me like the whole episode, Carl wanted to fight with Luke, didn't it? It seemed like he was revved up, ready to go to just get in a fight with Luke. He did not like him. So he sort of says something about Sierra. And then Kyle, you know, he's so wasted. He's just looking around. Did you see his face? Like when he was looking back and forth between Carl and Luke, he was starting to get a little activated. Like he was looking back and forth, and then Kyle, I really think something switched in Kyle's head, and he's like, okay, I got to do something exciting this season. You know, I don't even think it was so much to do with Luke as much as it was like Kyle's like, okay, we need to make a good season. I think Kyle knows in his head he's got to create some drama, make a TV show. And so he did, and it was so funny. He confronted Luke, and then Luke like ran off, and then Kyle was like still yelling at him, you're like, you control all the women, and Amanda was like pulling his pants down. Speaking of Amanda, you guys, I ordered a Loverboy tie-dye shirt. I finally got it in the mail. Meanwhile, I had Paige on the show last week. Paige told me tie-dye's out. And then 2 days later, after I interviewed her, I got the tie-dye in the mail. So it just came. Can't return it. Maybe I can. I don't know. But I do have a new Loverboy long sleeve tee. I'm super excited to wear it. It's tie-dye. Whether tie-dye's in or out, I'm wearing the Loverboy shirt this summer. It is what it is. I'm getting vaxxed and I'm going into town in my Loverboy shirt. That's what's happening summer 2021. Hot boy summer. What do they call it? Hot girl summer. Loverboy summer 2021. That's what we're doing. That's how we're celebrating. It did come, if anyone orders from Loverboy, it came, I think, in like a week and a half or 2 weeks. You know, it wasn't the fastest shipping. I'll be honest. It wasn't Amazon Prime. But it did come to my door eventually. So they do ship it. They do, you know, wait a week and a half and then they ship it and then you get it. So that's, oh, one more thing while we're here, we're talking about stuff I get in the mail. This is not an ad, by the way, but somebody from Bitty Chip Cookies. I hope I'm saying that right. Bitty Chip Cookies sent me, they're a listener of the show, and they sent me some cookies. And I'm not kidding you guys. They're the best cookies I've ever tasted. Bitty Chip, B-I-T-T-Y. Bitty Chip Cookies. This is not an ad. I just thought they were so good. If you're looking for cookies, I don't even know. Go to the website, Bitty Chip Cookies, order them. The sugar one, the chocolate chip were delicious, but the sugar cookies, to me, one of the best things I've ever had, truly. So, yeah, those are the things that I got in the mail. But so back to Summer House. So Luke is getting confronted. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of pretty intense accusations, right? They're saying Luke likes to control other women. Sierra said he's texting inappropriate light at night, even though she told him not to. I mean, these are pretty intense things. This is a fight that we've been teased since the trailer. A lot is happening. And I love that Luke's response is so Minnesota. I mean, it was like the meanest thing you could think of. Just, I don't like you. I don't like you. Like that was all he could say to Kyle, who's yelling and chasing him out of the house with his pants down and his blouse off. Kyle's just yelling at Luke, like, you control other women. You know, it's going on. I don't like you. Well, I don't like you. It's like, that's all you can say, Luke? I was like, come on. Say anything else. Like, say anything else. Call him a leprechaun or something. I don't know. Call him something. We've seen on the other people in the show, they call him all sorts of names and they accusations against Kyle and Carl and all this stuff. And all that Luke could think of was, I don't like you. Like, I mean, anything else, Luke? Like, did any other insult come to mind? Like, not one other thing. I don't know. Come on, Luke. Get creative with your insults. This is why straight men shouldn't be on television. Anyway, yeah, he's, I don't like you. And then we see a lot of producers sort of swarming Luke. He leaves the house. And then it looks like he comes back and chases it back in. And the producers are coming after him back in the house. Here's the thing, though. They end on it to be continued. Now, I finished watching the episode. I thought, that was great. I can't wait to see what happens next week. But then I go on social media. I don't even follow Kyle. And I saw people reposted or retagged or whatever. Kyle already apologized to Luke and was like, oh, that was a bad night. And like, then there was a picture of them all, his friends, him and Carl and Kyle. And I am over the social media. They need to put like a ban on them. The producers, they should not let them post on social media. Or they should have to go through a PR or something. I don't know. Because I don't need that spoiled. Now I'm like, I don't even give a shit about next week because we already know that they're good buddies. They made up. We need to stop this with social media. Something needs to happen. And maybe it's that we need to stop following these people, but that's not going to happen. It needs to be, somebody needs to step in at Bravo, one of the producers of these shows, Andy. We need to get Andy on the line. Somebody needs to step in and not allow them to post these spoilers on social media. I don't care if they made up. I just don't want to see it on social media. Give me some anticipation for the next week's show. Now, what the fuck do I care? It's like, okay, well, we know that nothing happens. They just get in a fight for a minute and then they make up. So I'm not happy about it. We need these people need to step in. I'm not sure who needs to do it. Somebody, Andy, needs to step in. It is what it is because I can't see it. Enough is enough. And it happens on The Housewives too. All these storylines are spoiled by the time we get to there. And I know that most people maybe aren't like us. You know, I think a lot of people that watch the show, they just watch it when it airs and then they forget about it. But we analyze this stuff and we follow them on social media and all that stuff. So, you know, we do it for us. Do it for us. The super fans of this show, don't allow them to post on social media or at least limit it or something. Anyway, you guys, that's Summer House. I thought it was a great episode. I'm loving this season. I am. It started off a little slow, but here we are. I don't like you. Loved it. So I want to get to my chat with Monet Exchange. You guys, are you watching RuPaul's Drag Race? Oh, I'm loving it. You guys, this week they did a little roast in Utica. Utica, you guys, did the worst roast I've ever seen. I was cringing. I mean, it was embarrassing. There was like a lot of fat phobic jokes. It was really uncomfortable if you watched, you know. And he went after like RuPaul and Michelle and the whole judging panel just a little too hard. And they had said this on the show. The judges said like those weren't jokes. They were just mean. I mean, it was tough to watch. But I'm loving this season of Drag Race. Now, I talked to Monet before this week's Drag Race aired and before this week's Real Housewives of Atlanta aired. But we talked about all of the Atlanta of it all. And this current season. And I hope you guys enjoy. I'm going to leave you with this chat. Before I do, I want to recommend one more thing. The Tina Turner documentary on HBO. If you haven't seen it, of course, Tina Turner's a queen, an icon, and a legend. This documentary is so personal, so raw, so inspiring, so heartbreaking. Really, truly wonderful stuff. I think it's just called Tina. It's on the HBO app. So go check that out. It's really, really good. Later this week, I have some really fun interviews coming. I can't wait to share with you guys. Top Chef airs on Thursday, the first episode. I'm not going to be recapping it, but I am very excited about this season of Top Chef, which comes Thursday. And I have some a good interview coming in anticipation of that. Ooh, also the Challenge All-Stars is coming on April 1st, which is Thursday as well, on the Paramount app, which I'm super excited about. So you guys, I'm going to leave you with Monet Exchange. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to support this show, you can go to everythingiconic.store. We have t-shirts. We just got the new wine glasses in. We were sold out for a while, but Matt just got some new ones in. And t-shirts, all that good stuff. So I will leave you with this. Please enjoy my chat with Monet Exchange. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I'm so excited. I'm here with Monet Exchange. Monet, how are you doing today?
I'm doing even better now that I see you have a crown on your background there. And it was that inspired by me?
Yeah, of course. It was for sure inspired by you. And it was also one of those things that, like, every time I hopped on Instagram, I kept seeing it, you know, like the targeted ads. And I was like, okay,
On an Instagram ad, and it actually, like, came as advertised, and you, like, actually enjoyed it and you like it?
Okay, as advertised is a loose term, because I really thought it was going to be like a big crown. It's like one of those catch-alls from West Elm, and I thought it was going to be much bigger, but... Yeah.
Well, if you would have sent me that link, honey, because I want that. I want that for some little décolletage in my home.
Speaking of crowns, you must be watching this season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ooh, yes, I is, girl. Yes, I will. Which one? Because there are literally 19 seasons happening this year. So,
and a lot of people are liking UK more. My boyfriend likes UK more than the U.S. version.
Well, yeah, that's because the U.K. queens, they're so much more irreverent than American queens. You know, American queens are being so careful about, like, Utica is like a prime example. The thing that Utica had this season about not wanting to wear the afro and not wearing Simone's outfit, that would literally never even be a point of conversation in the U.K. Those bitches would just do it and, like, pick up the pieces later. But the American queens... Not all, but the majority of are so worried with being like PC and not doing anything wrong to get canceled when the show airs, where the British queens are like, my mom's a slag, my grandmother sucks some cock, and yeah, man. It's like, you know, it's just so different, and I love it.
I watch a lot of Housewives, and I feel that way too. I watch the Melbourne Housewives, and it's like they air all the swearing, and they're just like a little bit more, you know, the Beverly Hills Housewives, they're all so put together and so conscious of like how they're coming across on camera. Were you aware of all that when you were on the show, or did you not care?
No, I mean, the first time I went on season 10, I had done like little TV spots when like some like an Oxygen like sends you an email like, hey, we're doing this new show, like Girls Who Brunch, and we want to come to like a drag brunch, as like little shit like that. Also, back, I don't know what season of Housewives of New Jersey was, but Caroline's kids had like a they were going to like a drag show, and it came to like my show at Pieces Bar in New York City, and I was featured in like one of those episodes. But draggers,
oh my god, it must have been with Greggy Bennett, who's a friend of mine. I mean, he was like their gay friend.
I'm pretty sure. Yes. So I was featured in that, but that was like years ago. I mean, I want to say 2014 or 15, something like that. But yeah, Drag Race was the first time I like actively like did reality show and like a reality show, reality TV. And I had friends who had done it before, you know, Bianca and Bob and Peppermint, but I didn't really know how to pretend for TV. And it's something I still don't know how to do. I'm just so lovely. I don't think I need to like make a character. I just like being myself. So what you see is what you get with me on TV. And sometimes I say the wrong shit. Sometimes I wear the wrong shit. But it is what it is. And I'm happy with that.
Right. You know, I was really pissed at you last night because I was having trouble sleeping because I was watching some of your lip syncs on YouTube. And the Ariana Grande Into You lip sync you did on Drag Race. Like, it's so good. But that song also, I swear to God, like I was cursing you because it was just, and it's Ariana's fault too, but it just was like replaying in my head all night. not
well, you know, that lip sync is funny because people, a lot of my All-Stars 4 lip syncs, people are like, I feel like Monet wasn't like, they talk about that one, the one with Naomi as well. They're like, it just didn't seem like Monet. And in those moments, like two things, because going back on TV my second time, yes, still being myself, but you still are trying to play a little strategically. And I'm like, if this shit is anything like last season, they bring these girls back and they're choosing who is winning, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm going to still give it my all, but not my 100% all, because I don't want to be the one who sends everyone home and then they fucking decide my fate at the end. I'm like, y'all not going to get me. Y'all not going to get me this time.
Right. So who are you liking this season? Who do you want to win?
Ooh, I mean, at this point, it is Simone's competition to lose. Yeah. She has won 4 challenges at this point. And there are, what, like 2 or 3 more challenges in the season? If she wins another one, literally, there's no way she could lose. Not unless something crazy happens in the finale. So I am rooting for Simone really hard. And I just find her so funny. And, you know, as a fan of the show, like, we kind of get stuck in the rut of, oh, she's like, you have all these preconceived notions of what you think the queen is going to do. Like, oh, Simone, she's just going to be like the fashion girl who wears like nice clothes, and there's going to be nothing more than that. She's going to be, ugh, I'm going to hate it. But we're seeing that she's funny. She can act. She's good at improv. I was like, this bitch is crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. So I'm really impressed by Simone. I like her a lot. I also like Got Mick a lot as well. Yeah. She was another one. I was like, she's going to be the fashion girl. Look, yeah, Aquarius 2.0, like, ill, like, so basic, like, train harder. But no, Got Mick is so fucking funny. And she, oh, sorry, can I curse on here?
Yeah,
I dropped the F-bomb 19 times already.
No, please.
Got Mick is coming in and she's being really funny. And I, the Snatch Game, I was literally watching the TV like, oh my god, this is like, in my opinion, definitely one of the top 10 ones. The physical transformation and also the jokes, it was just nonstop, one after the other. So I think she's so impressive, and those are my top 2 that I'm rooting for really hard.
You know, I was reading this report today that...
oh my God, reading. I don't know how to do that.
I know, it's new. there was something about how the format could change. And obviously, this has been something that's been rumored for forever. But it was saying that the format could change so that people were voting on their top. And then the bottom 2, as voted by the audience, would then lip sync and RuPaul would then decide. Are you in favor of some sort of format shakeup for the show, or...
Yeah, I'm all about it. I'm all about changing it up. I mean, I personally am over the lip sync for the crown thing. I'm like, we've seen it. And obviously now with COVID, I don't know what their ideas for the finale are, but I'm so over the, because now these queens, I mean, it's getting crazy. Went from, you know, Asia and the butterflies, bitch is going to start releasing bees. It's going to be crazy. I just think we need to bring it back. I personally think that they should give each bitch a fucking black leotard and the same kitty cat wig and be like, this is your song, perform it. Let me see what you do with that. No props, no stunts, like, do the thing. You know what I mean? Or take it back to like season 7 and season 8, where they gave them like a pre, like an original song that they got to choreograph and like, you know, in a Kimchi Legs for Days, whatever it was. And Naomi Legs for Days, Kimchi, Fat Feminine Asian Bob, and Show Off. Like that I'm into that, because you see what the person can do, and they're not trying to do one song which may favor a queen more than the other. In that season, each queen got a lip sync song that fit their personality and their vibe and their aesthetic. So I'm in favor for that. Lip sync for the crown thing, I'm over it.
Right. A change. I got to ask about Housewives. You're a Atlanta Housewives fan.
Like, stan. Not a fan. I'm a stan. I love these ladies so much.
Did you watch from the beginning?
Yeah, I've been watching since season 1, girl. And actually, one of my best friends from childhood, Kamika, she's rewatching all the seasons again from back in the beginning. So like every day, it's like her sending me texts. I'm like, girl, Roger Bob was a mess. I was like, oh my God, Roger Bob. Remember, he was literally sweating every time the camera was on Roger Bob. It was a torrential downpour. Just, I was like, wow, this motherfucking sweating. I know it's hot in Atlanta, but damn, girl.
Who's your all-time favorite on that? Like, is there a housewife, whether they're in the cast now or... Or they've since left us.
You know, I know she rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And this season, she's getting me a little tight. But Kenya Moore is my queen. I love Kenya. She's so messy. But in the best way possible. And Kenya is like my all-time favorite. And close second is Nene. It's Candy Burris. I love Candy a lot, too.
I love Candy. Yeah. You know, Kenya this past week What did you make of sort of the controversy over her costume? And I feel similarly with Kenya, where it's like, I think she's great on the show, and I know she's very divisive. And I get so many people that write me, and they're like, they do not feel that way about Kenya. But something about her, I have trouble like disliking Kenya, if that makes sense.
I know, her costume's so problematic. And right. I mean, you have to think, this was probably filmed in the fall of 2020. So, I mean, there's just so much knowledge out there and so much access. Now, listen, I can't speak on what Kenya's ethnic and racial makeup is. I don't know. Maybe she may have some native in her DNA, and she feels that she can wear that. But I've never heard her express that. And even the way that she talked about the costume, because it was a costume, it wasn't, you know, anything formal. So I think it was really problematic. And all the ladies. And I like how Drew kind of like shadily called her out a little bit, but not like, she's like, literally every episode, she's like, I cannot fight with this bitch again. So I'm just going to say something really like, but yeah, I thought the costume was very problematic, and I can't believe that she sat there on national television and wore that.
Right, right. I'm loving Drew more and more every week. I feel like at first when the season began, I wasn't sure about Drew. And now I'm like, man, she's becoming my favorite. What do you think?
Her husband's my favorite. Girl, let me tell you something. Okay. I am going to, after this, I'm getting up a full drag, and I'm sending a little DM video, but like, hey, this is Monet Exchange. I'm a RuPaul's Drag Race. I know you're married and you have kids, but you should just leave them and come and find me.
He's going to get in a DM after that.
No, yeah, I agree. At the beginning, I was like, okay, let me see Ms. Drew. And then I thought I was going to like LaToya so much. And LaToya, like, read her at the beginning. I was like, I kind of like this bitch. But now I am fully, like you, I'm really liking Drew's door a lot. I like her vibe, and I like that she claps back, and I like that she stands up for herself. Unlike Kim Fields a few seasons ago, where it took her so long to get there, immediately Drew was like standing up for herself, and I like that. So I'm really vibing with Drew.
And Drew's got like a fun personality too, where I feel like she's not afraid to get a little messy, but for the most part, she's like a bright, sunshiny. I don't know. She's just a great mix. I don't know if I'm making any sense. And look,
100%.
LaToya too, I felt like early on she came out swinging, but it was like the more that time goes on, the more it feels sort of just so put upon for the show. And mm-hmm. I think Kenya does that a lot, but and maybe it just took me a while to warm up to Kenya, but with LaToya I'm starting to feel like, okay, it's just clear you're trying to do these things for the show a little bit.
1,000%. I'm like, when maybe Kenya was doing that for the show, but in Kenya's psyche and her, the way she does shit, and obviously she's an actress. She was really good at just making it seem like actual reality and not like she was doing a thing for TV, where LaToya is clear. Like, she just walks into her first time meeting someone in any situation and just like flying off the handle. I'm like, I don't like it. And at the beginning, I thought it was cute. But now this past episode with what she was doing with, I don't even know that young lady's name.
Fallon.
Fallon. Right. Like, I was like, it was just so unnecessary and it was so extra. And like, I thought I was really going to like LaToya. And as someone, I'm, you know, my family's from the West Indies too, St. Lucia. And she's from Trinidad, so I know how West Indian women can be. But even that, she is, you know, lots of very spicy and they add a lot of flavor to things. You know what I mean? But LaToya is just, she's rubbing me the wrong way now. I'm over her. She's trying to get a peach, but you're not going to get a peach.
Right.
You're not going to get a peach, mama.
Do you think Marlo should get the peach?
You know, that's so funny you said. I mean, it's like you're in my brain. After this episode, I was like, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's because her and Kenya have made up and they're friends again. But I was like, I kind of want to see more of Marlo. I mean, and Marlo has been around for, I don't even remember what was the first season she was on.
I mean, she's been around for a while. I remember so there was long. One reunion where she went after Kim, the other Kim.
Kim.
Why am I blanking on Kim's name? Don't be tardy. Kim.
Kim Zolciak.
Why did I forget that? there's too much in my head. But yeah, she's been around for a really long time.
Yeah. So I think that maybe next season, give Marlo, maybe, you know what, if it's not a peach, give Marlo a plum. She can hold a plum first, and then maybe that plum will blossom into a peach.
Did you ever watch The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow?
Oh my God, I watched two episodes of it, and it wasn't for me.
Oh, how dare you. There's an episode where Lisa Kudrow is like in the background shooting a shot, and I'm just picturing Marlo like way behind the women in the opening shot, just with the plum. Do you think it's time for any of the women to move on? Like, do you feel it's maybe time for Cynthia, for Candy? I love Candy too. But sometimes Candy. I feel like maybe it's time to graduate a little, if you will.
It is. And, you know, I'm not too sure what Candy's storyline or purpose was this season. I know at the beginning she was like getting Riley off to school. And, you know, she's had the new baby and her other toddler, but AJ. But I don't understand. I don't know what her storyline is this season. But for some reason, I still want her there because I think Candy adds a lot of gravitas to the cast. She makes it because she's always really grounded, and Candy doesn't get flustered, and Candy just always holds her own very well. But no shade. Not Cynthia having this wedding. She's like, I just really wanted to have a different wedding. I was like, girl, that wedding looked crazy too.
She did not need to do that wedding.
So I think Cynthia is, mama, and she's gorgeous. I love Cynthia.
Stunning.
I think it's time for her to go.
Yeah, yeah. Candy did bring us Bolo this season, though, which to me, that one episode was one of the greatest episodes of Housewives like that I've ever seen. I thought it was just so... such a perfect episode. I don't think we'll ever see Tanya again. I think like...
Oh, you think so? You think she's done?
Yeah, I think she's done. From everything I've heard, she doesn't show up again.
Oh, and, wow.
Andy had like tweeted, like, send me questions for the reunion. And he tweeted like everyone's names. And it was literally like everyone. He's like, send in questions for Shamia, for Kenya, for like the whole fucking cast, but not Tanya.
Oh no, bitch! Because when that shit came out, her husband probably yoked her up. He was like, "You not going nowhere. You stay at home." You know what I mean? Because allegedly, her and Portia had a little cunnilingus. So I'm like, "Work, girls, explore, live your life, have fun." But maybe that situation with her and her husband had a whole thing, and she's like, "All right, I just can't go back on the show." But that makes sense.
Yeah, I appreciate that Candy brought us Bolo though, because I thought that was great. Are you a Portia fan? Portia just signed. It was in the news. I don't know if she just signed with UTA, but she's got a bunch of projects going on. And she's sort of become the lead of the show, if you will, in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like she's sort of taken that NeNe position. What do you think?
You think Portia is on the level of NeNe?
Well, I didn't say she's, but I do think like she's sort of fronting member. The show.
Yeah. I agree with that. Because I think, you know what? Because Portia and Kenny used to go at it so often, and they still are, but like in earlier seasons, and I used to really rally behind Kenya, I used to not like Portia for that. But now I've matured, the show has matured, and I can look past that, and I genuinely like Portia on the show. I think she's great to have with the show. She's great TV. I love her body. I love her takes. I think she's funny. She's fucking stunning. So yeah, I like Portia. I genuinely like Miss Portia Williams.
Monet, any other final thoughts on the Real Houses of Atlanta? Anything you've just been dying to get off your chest about these women?
I want to see Sheree back. I don't know what her story is going to be, but to me, Sheree beefing with the other women, that shit is so funny. And I mean, the clip of her talking about spring, summer, fall, winter line, that shit is so funny. And I want to see, what's her name? Phaedra. I want Phaedra to come back. Oh, I want Phaedra to come back. I want Phaedra back on my TV. I don't know if she will, though, but that would be, those are my wishes. I think NeNe's done.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be back, but I miss some of those women. Monet, tell me about your podcast. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I have Sibling Rivalry with Bob the Drag Queen, where we discuss everything from why I'm not into getting DP'd to transracialism to sexuality. We literally discuss all the things.
But wait, why aren't you? Just can you explain briefly why you're not into getting DP'd?
Because I'm of the belief that a big dick is pretty not functional. Okay. Mm-hmm. No. Yes. 10 inches is nice to look at. And you know, it might be even nice to kiss, but I don't need that inside of me. And DP to me, simulates that same experience. So I'm not into that. So we discuss all types of things. And I have Ebony and Irony as well with Lady Bunny, a very old old legendary drag queen who we discuss a lot of interesting topics too. Ebony and Irony is a little bit more serious because we discuss things like, you know, being too PC, activism, all this kind of stuff. So it's all great vibes and great energy and drag shit.
And I want to know, like, obviously you've accomplished so much in your career, but like, what are there one or two dreams that you still think that you're like, goals for the future?
Yeah, you know what? Since I was a kid, you know, as far back since like sixth grade, I remember being obsessed with like daytime TV, and that's still my ultimate goal, is to have a nationally syndicated daytime talk show where I talk to celebrities, interview celebrities, and do things of that nature. So,
did you have a favorite when you were younger? Like, was there one?
Oh, I started watching Wendy Williams from the 6-week sneak peek. Like, I used to watch it. And if correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you'll know or anyone listening can please feel free to correct me. But I think that's when DVR started around that time. So I remember DVRing it and watching it when I got home from school because it happened in the morning. So I've always been a big Wendy fan. And another idol of mine, I just love her comedy. I love all of her talk shows that she had previously, Chelsea Handler, and her Chelsea show on Netflix. I just love her brand of comedy and how she talks to celebrities.
Wendy's so brilliant. I mean, I always think about her sitting in that purple chair for 20 to 30 minutes off the top of her show. No one else. I mean, that's a very hard thing to do. And I don't know if people always realize it, but
it's very hard.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug or promote before I let you go?
No, just podcasting. You know,
and subscribe.
And I want to say this: Sibling Rivalry. Hey, we weren't a podcast that was just like this amazing podcast. I think that we have a genuine love of talking about and to people. So that's definitely the energies that I put into my podcast, and I'm so happy that you had me on yours.
Yeah, and finally, before I do let you go, I ask every guest these two questions. They're just sort of silly. I ask your favorite Mariah Carey song, and then also if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Oh, a favorite Mariah Carey song. First of all, I want to say this. Glitter is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my life. I know that it's a very, to some people, iffy statement, but I genuinely love the movie Glitter and Never Too Far Away.
You can't hit that note. No one could hit that note except for her. But that the soundtrack is amazing, and I'm glad there was finally sort of justice for Glitter last year. But
yes. And I also read her book recently, and hearing about all that stuff in Glitter, and it was just really interesting to hear where she was in her life when that opportunity came about. And people like to shade her for Precious. Mariah Carey's
she's brilliant.
She turned it. It was so good.
Right. Right. She was amazing and Precious. And I mean, she had like the lighting on her alone was enough to give her an award. I mean, she talks. There's a great interview with Questlove she did that's like almost like 3 hours long. Questlove has a podcast. If you're a Mariah fan or anyone listening that's a Mariah fan, it's truly like one of the best interviews she's ever done. It's very long. They recorded it. She's like a night owl. So they recorded it like in the middle of the night. But it's amazing. Like, and okay, she talks about the book and done. She talks about the book. It's really long. Let me know what you think. It's wonderful. Okay. People Magazine, Sexiest Man Alive.
For me right now, it would have to be Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy. He's
so hot.
Girl, the eyes, the everything. I love Jesse Williams.
Yeah.
He's another one. I'm going to slide in them DMs too.
Please. Yeah, you should let me know what they say. Monet Exchange, thank you so much. I want to encourage everyone to go subscribe to your podcast. And thank you for taking the time. This was so fun. Hope to meet you in person at some point.
Yes, we better.